and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 34, Psalms 34. And when you found it, you can say amen. And it's right there in the middle of your Bible. And just open up to the middle and you should be able to find it. Psalms 34 this morning. I'm going to preach out of one of these timeless passages. And I dare say probably millions and millions of messages have been preached out of this text. It's one of those great texts in the Old Testament and of the book of Psalms. And pray that it will be a blessing this morning. And when you found it, say amen and I'll know you're there. Amen. All right. Psalms 34, and look what it says in verse number 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And then he says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I'm going to take our text out of verse number 8. And thank God as the psalmist, as he says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. And I hope that you've tasted of the Lord and you've saw that he's good. So let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning and pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, for those of us who are saved and we can say that we've tasted and saw that the Lord is good. God, you are good. And God, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God would minister that grace now and bless all that will be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we preach on this thought of, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can testify this morning that the Lord is good. Amen. God saved me some 38 years ago and changed my life and brought me out of that horrible pit of sin. And as the psalmist said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. That's my testimony this morning. And I know what God has done for me. He's blessed me without a doubt because I've tasted him for myself. You know, some things in life you just have to experience for yourself. And the Lord is one of them. We were down on vacation this last week, and been the first time really in probably 14 years since my entire family has been together, and we just had a great time. It was good being together. And Robert, behave yourself, all right? And it was just good to be together. And what we were reminiscing about being in Trinidad. And you say, what's Trinidad like? Well, you got to taste and see it for yourself. You just got to be there. And we were talking about some of the different things that we ate while we were on the mission field. And it was kind of funny. We stayed with a national pastor and his wife. She was trying to fix things that we liked. And she was fixing corned beef out of the can a couple days a week. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever eaten corned beef out of the can. That's something you say, what does that taste like? And I said, you know, there's nothing I can describe that tastes like corned beef out of a can. It's kind of like Spam. Have you ever had any Spam? So what's Spam taste like? I don't know. It's mystery meat. You can't describe it. It's just something you got to eat for yourself, right? And there are a lot of things in the world that are like that. My son-in-law was there, and we were talking about aloo and bygon. And what that is, that's eggplant and potatoes mashed up together with curry and hot pepper. And it's kind of slimy and it's green. But it's the most fabulous tasting thing in the world. I love it. I couldn't get enough of it. Lisa made some the other day, and I was trying to describe it to Adam what it tastes like. I said, but there's... You have to taste it for yourself, and that's how life is. One time there was this old atheist, and he was up bashing Christianity and talking about how Christianity wasn't real and saying all these horrible things about Jesus Christ. And he had gathered a crowd, and people were listening to it. And it's kind of like the Freedom Foundation, Freedom from Religion Foundation today. And there was an old man in the back, and he was just listening to the guy, and he was eating apple, and he was crunching it. Eating apple was a crunchy apple while the guy was disparaging Jesus Christ. And he got down to the end of his little speech and he said, well, does anybody have anything to say? And the old preacher was finishing his apple and he's eating. He said, I just got one question for you, sir. Just one simple little question. He says, this apple that I'm eating, is it sweet or is it sour? And he's crunching the apple and he's eating it. And he gets down and he throws it in the bag and squashes the bag up. And the atheist is looking at him kind of confused. He says, well, how do I know if it's sweet or sour? I haven't tasted it. And he said this. He said, and neither of you tasted my Jesus. And the crowd erupted in laughter. And he said, hey, you need to come down to church and hear what I got to say. This guy don't know anything at all. But you know that's true. When you've tasted Jesus Christ, there is nothing in the world like the Lord. Amen. And you got to taste Him for yourself. And the psalmist said, after God had saved him and brought him out of all his troubles, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to taste Him for yourself. Now, let me say, I got a few little things this morning. The first thing is, when it comes to God's plan is a sweet plan, there's no doubt about that. You know, we live in a day when it's slang. People say, well, that was sweet, or that was nectar, or that, this, that, and the other thing. But let me tell you something. The sweetest thing in life is to know the Lord as your personal Savior. Amen. Because it was God's plan that redeemed sinful man. You know, think about it for a minute. We are wicked by our conception, and that is by our birth. We are sinners by birth. I asked a man one time, he said, well, why am I, a man asked me, he said, why am I a sinner? And he got half mad when I told him why he was a sinner. I said, well, I hate to tell you this. You're a sinner because your daddy was a sinner. It's DNA. All right? The sinful nature was passed down by birth. We are sinners by birth. I hate to say it, my father was a sinner and his father was a sinner, and that takes us all the way back to the first sinner. You say, who was that? It was Adam. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. David said this in Psalms 51, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, we understand what that is, right? Babies cry just because they want to be held. I got a new grandson, and my goodness, when he wants to be held, you know what he does? He cries. Is there anything wrong with him? Ain't nothing wrong with him. He's just, babies want to be held. Even, you say, can babies be spoiled? Of course they can be spoiled. And you know, and again, it's that nature that we all have. We were all born and conceived in sin. And, you know, so it's funny, you meet people and think, well, I've never sinned. I said, you just sinned by telling a lie, because we've all sinned. No doubt about it. It's by our conception. By our conception, we're sinners. By our birth, we're sinners. But you know what? Even if it wasn't by conception, it would be by choice. I've never committed a sin that I didn't choose to commit. Amen. We all sin, and it's by choice. And I hate to say that, but it's true. The Bible says, for all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's always funny with kids and they're growing up, and parents will say, well, you got the wrong kind of friends. You need to stay away from them kids. We lived in Blue Ash, Ohio, growing up, and we lived on Cornell Road, and Four Mark Drive was down the street from us. And we'd go down there and play with all the kids. And it was funny that we played with the Hoxzema's kids. And they had 6-7 kids in their family. Had a girl and a bunch of boys. And they were a bunch of devils, and we were a bunch of devils. I had 4 sisters and 2 boys. And it was funny, the Hoxzema's mom and dad say, well, you know what? Them Bopona's boys are corrupting our boys. And then we'd go home, and my mom and dad said, the Hoxzema boys are corrupting our boys. But you can't corrupt the corrupted. We were all corrupt. Everyone on the street was corrupt. We were all sinners. And you know why that is? It was by choice. My mom used to say, when we do something wrong and dad would get mad, she said, well, boys, we'll be boys. You know what that means? Because all boys, hey, we got this thing inside of us, and it's wickedness by choice. I got some grandkids, right? Little Liam, oh my gosh. I mean, that kid, he will choose the wrong thing every time. You say, why? Because he's a boy. That's what boys do, right? And he calculates whether or not it's worth the whipping he's going to get. He'll think in his little mind, is it worth it? And he'll say, absolutely, it's worth it. And he'll do it, right? You can be looking right at him, and he'll still do it. You say, why? Because he's a sinner, not only by conception, but he's a sinner by what? Choice. We're sinner by choice. You give people choices, and what's the choice most people make most of the time? We choose badly most of the time because we are sinners, and that's what sinners do. It all comes down to choices. Why are our jails filled across the city? It's because of choice. They don't want to be there, yet they chose to be there by the things that they do. And again, you can't get away from these things. And God's plan was a sweet plan of redemption and salvation. But again, it comes down to the conception. We're sinners by conception. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by conduct. The Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. No doubt about it. And the wages of sin is death. When our conduct determines what we are. And there's no doubt about it. It's a reflection of what we are. And again, when it comes to sin, sin, it's what curses us in unbelief. In John 3:18, the Bible says this: he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, we don't have to condemn people. People are condemned already without Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. Jesus also said, he that believeth on me, on the Son, hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Man in his own natural state is perishing, blinded, and under God's wrath. But God has a plan that gives hope to the dying. Aren't you glad for God's plan this morning? I'm glad that God's plan is a sweet plan to forgive sinners of their sin. There was a man one time, this is a true story, there's a terrible wreck on the interstate, and one of these big semis had crashed, and it was hanging over the bridge there, and the cab had been flattened, and they were trying to rescue the man that was in the cab, but the truth of the matter, the man was dying. And they were making attempts to what to do. The cab was kind of dangling there, and they were expecting it to fall off. But the man had been critically injured, and they were having trouble because they said, if anyone goes in to rescue him, it's going to be suicide. They're going to die also. And this preacher come along and saw what was taking place on the interstate, and he had a heart for sinners. And we ought to have a heart for sinners. We ought to have a desire to see people saved and know the Lord as their personal Savior. So he came along and saw what was taking place. And this was in New York where it happened. And the preacher's name was, I believe his name was Crawford. And what he did was he asked the police officer, said, can I come in? Can I go and talk to that man? He said, preacher, that's suicide. You can't go in there. He says, don't worry. God has told me to go in there and have a discussion with this man. And so he went in there. Pastor Crawford went in there to talk to him. And he asked him, he says, look, friend, it says the doctors say it doesn't look good. And that you're probably going to die. He said, I was just wondering about your soul. Are you ready to meet Jesus? And he asked him, he said, well, preacher, he said, I'm a sinner. And he said, well, he said, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And he moaned and he said, yes, I believe that. He said, do you know what's going to happen if you reject him as your Savior? And he said, yeah, I'm going to go to hell. He said, will you trust him as your Lord and Savior? He said, I will with all my heart. With all my heart, I will. And the preacher said that the man's mind seemed to clear for a few moments. And he prayed. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart. And he says, preacher, he said, thank you for telling me how to be saved. He said, I have one request. Will you tell my wife that I love her? And will you tell her that she also needs to be a Christian? Aren't you glad for God's plan of salvation? How it can save someone who's dying and lost and with no hope? God's plan of salvation gives people hope. And God's plan of salvation changes people's lives. I couldn't think of a sweeter plan in this entire world that God would come to this world and give salvation to a sin-cursed people, a dying race. And that's what we were when Jesus Christ came. And he offers salvation by faith to those who would simply believe in him and ask him for it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at that moment if salvation was jumping through hoops and you had to do this and this and this and this? Do you think that man, a dying man, could ever come to know Christ as personal Savior? Well, you got to be a church member. You got to get baptized. You got to do these things. Let me tell you something. It's not about religion. It's about that relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's no sweeter plan in the world than God's plan of salvation. Thank God that God had a plan of salvation. He offers it to you and I this morning. It's a sweet plan. Let me say this. God's purpose is sure. God's purpose is sure, is a sure thing. And you say, what is it sure? It's freedom from sin, it's freedom from Satan, and it's freedom from self. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. What is better than the taste of freedom? Amen. We have freedom in America. And you know, once people have tasted freedom, it's hard to go back to bondage. You know what the people in Afghanistan and Iraq have tasted the last 17 years? They have had a taste of what? Freedom. A taste of freedom. And people that have freedom, they want, you know, they want out of bondage. They want out of bondage. You can understand why people, all these Muslim people, want to come to America. Why? Because they've been under the tyranny of Islam for so long, and the false religion that says that people say, well, Islam equals peace. No, that's a lie. Islam equals death. No doubt about it. There was an article, and I want to read it to you. There was a man that had come to Jesus Christ, converted to Jesus Christ in Afghanistan, and what happened was the senior Afghan clerics were demanding that this man be put to death for converting to Jesus Christ. And our president at the time, which was George W. Bush, had to get involved, and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had to get involved because the man's name was Abdul Rahman. He was a 41-year-old medical aid worker, and he was facing the death penalty from converting to Jesus Christ. He had seen from the Christians the good things they had done in Afghanistan and the preaching that they have done and the past, you know, wherever the American military goes, guess what goes with it? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bibles go with it. The Christians go with it. And people began to convert. And this man converted, and he was arrested for his faith, and he said, I'd rather die and believe in Jesus Christ than to be held in the bondage of Islam. Boy, being set free in Jesus Christ is the greatest thing. And this man experienced that freedom for himself. And after he experienced it, there was no going back to the bondage of religion. No going back to the bondage of those things. God's purpose is something that was sure to deliver people from sin and Satan and from themselves. When you think about the penalty of sin, you know, the penalty of sin is such the sin of law and of law of sin and the law of death. James 1:15 says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth what? It brings forth death. But John, 1 John 3:5 says this, and ye shall know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Christ came to take away our sins and deliver us from that sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when I found out that I was could be free from the penalty of sin, what a liberating day that was for me. And then from the power of Satan, the power that the devil held over my life. 1 John says this, in 3:5, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank God for Romans 8. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, when I got saved, thank God I got a new father. You say, who was your father? It was the devil. Because the devil, the Bible says the devil is a liar and a murderer and the father of it. You know why people lie? Because their devil's the father. Their father is the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. You ever wonder why the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone? Now we're speaking spiritually speaking now, but let me tell you something. When I got saved, thank God I got a heavenly father. And he loves me. You know, my earthly father, I've told you before, he wasn't big on saying I love you. I can hardly remember when my earthly father ever spoke those words and said, son, I love you. But you know, my heavenly father whispers that every morning. Hallelujah. He whispers in my ear and says, son, I love you. I love you so much. Thank God for a heavenly father this morning. Thank God that we can know him. But you know, you have to taste and see that the Lord is good. How many kids in this life go through life without a father? I dare say in America, we live in a day when probably most of them do. You hate to say that, but it's the truth. We live in a day when so many children go through life and don't even know who their father is, or may not ever spend any real time with their father. And they go through life not knowing what it is to have a father's embrace, a father's love, a father's care. And they can't say, hey, I know what it is. But when they come to Christ, then we have a father who's sure. Earthly fathers may leave you, but guess what? The heavenly father never will. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. And thank God that He is this morning. And thank God for the purpose of the Father to give us that freedom from these things of that really destroy us in our life. The power of self. You think of the power that the sinfulness of ourself and our flesh that our flesh holds over us. Romans chapter number 6, if you look there this morning, when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, it was a book that would give instruction and deliverance to the Christians as he wrote it. Notice what he says in verse 12. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign nor more abide, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you." And that's rule. "For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Thank God. God, He set me free from the power of sin in my life. You know, people say, "Well, I have to sin." You don't have to sin. God can deliver you. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he doesn't really know the Lord, but he was just giving me a little testimony. He said he quit smoking 4 years ago. And he said, I want you to know, I quit smoking 4 years ago, and I did it with my own strength and power. He said, "I didn't need a nicotine patch. I just said I wasn't going to do it anymore." Well, I thought, well, hats off to you. Because that's something that a lot of people can't do. Brother Vic, bless his heart, my former pastor years ago, Brother Vic, he struggled with smoking. I mean, and it was something that it had a hold of him, and he couldn't hardly let it go. And, you know, and some people can throw it away. Some people, man, they struggle with different things. But I do know this. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." No matter what the problem is, God can deliver you from it. God's more powerful than tobacco, right? I mean, He's more powerful than Jack Daniels. He's more powerful than all these other things. Can God deliver people from meth? God can absolutely deliver people from meth. And we got a meth epidemic taking place right here in this area. At one time, Chattanooga and East Ridge was the meth capital of the world. But can God deliver people from that? Thank God. God can deliver people from that. God can set people free from their sin. He can set them free from their addictions. He can set them free from their...